I know that was a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, but I wanted to read it to give you the context of everything that we will speak about tonight. And many of you already know the context of where we find Moses and Aaron and Israel in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. You know the history of Israel and how God, by His right, powerful arms, saved them from Egypt and gave them the promise that He will be their God and they will be His people. And so we won't spend time giving you the context before, but here they are. Before a land, the land of Canaan, a land that God had promised to them. And here they are spying out the land and bringing out a report to the whole congregation. And here we have many lessons on the subject of fear and faith. What is fear and what is faith? Well, fear, as we will consider it in the context tonight, is unbelief. There is a fear of God that is a healthy fear, a reverent fear, a fear that is an awe, a wonder before God, but that's not the fear that is being referred to here. The fear being referred to in this context is simply unbelief, not believing what God is saying, willfully disregarding the clear commandments of God. Doubt, worry, anxiety produces fear. And fear responded to is rebellion against God. That is fear. And what is faith? Well, faith is trusting God, taking God at His word, willfully regarding the clear commandments of God, believing God despite what we may see. Fear and faith. And tonight I want to give you very quickly the evidences of fear and faith from this passage. And I hope as we move through them that the Holy Spirit will show us whether we are walking in fear or whether we are walking in faith. Well, the first characteristic, the first evidence of fear that we find here in this passage, that we find in this situation of the spies going into land and bringing back a report, is this: that fear overlooks the good. Fear overlooks the good. In the case of the Israelites in our passage, fear caused 10 men to remain blinded to what God was providing for them. 10 men saw with their physical eyes that which was prosperous, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they saw and held with their physical hands the evidence that the land was abundant in fruit, because they came back with a cluster of grapes. Yet, in all that, fear caused them to neglect what God was about to provide for them in abundance. Fear caused these men with the evil report to overlook the good. Now remember, what were they eating at this moment? If you turn back a few chapters, we won't for sake of time, but if you look at Numbers chapter 11, verses 31 through 32, you will see that God sends quail to the people. And they were fed up with manna. God was faithful in bringing manna to the people. And over, eating that every day, they became sick of that. So they said, "Lord, we want something else. And give us meat to eat." And so God is fed up with their complaints. He says, "Okay, you asked for it. I will send you quails so much so that it will come out of your nostrils," the Bible says. I love that descriptive language. And you really see that they are fed up with having quail. So they've been complaining about food for quite some time. And even as Moses brings them across the Red Sea, and immediately in the first few chapters, we see the complaints given to God regarding food. And here is God showing them His promised land to the children of Israel with good food that they've been desiring. They've been wishing for fruit. And here God is saying, "I'm about to give it to you." God in His grace was one step closer to giving them their heart's desire, and yet they were consumed with the challenges before them rather than the good before them. And that's what fear does. Fear causes us to overlook the good. And tied in with this is our second point. Fear focuses on the negative. Overlooking the good that God had in store for the nation of Israel, 10 leaders could not shake the fact that the land was filled with a people who were strong and tall. They were filled with a people who had walled cities, and that enemies surrounded the land. And so we see with our spiritual eyes, spiritual application here, that fear in our life causes us to overlook the good, and it also causes us to focus on the negative. They brought back the evil report because they did not believe it was worth it. They soaked in negativity. And they did so because of our third point that fear produces. Fear forgets God. They soaked in negativity. They overlooked the good because they were forgetting God. And fear in our life causes us to forget God. Fear sometimes causes Christians to become practical atheists. In our minds, we would not deny God. With our mouth, we would not say that God doesn't exist. But sometimes in our life, as believers, we act like God isn't there. We act like God does not exist. And that is the case with these 10 spies, these 10 leaders. They were acting like God disappeared, as if God wasn't on His throne. And they were focused on the negative because of what they saw. What they saw with their physical eye caused them to neglect God. Verse 31, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They're leaving God out of the equation. And their focus is on men. Their focus is on circumstances. And when we succumb to fear, this is how we become. We overlook the good. We focus in on the negative. And that is because we have forgotten God. And then we see a fourth characteristic of what fear causes. We see that fear discourages others. And the 10 spies bring an evil report to the people, verses 32 and 33 of chapter 13. And we see that their unbelief spread like a fierce wildfire, destroying everything in its path. Jasper, that's a little distracting. Thank you. Fear in the 10 went to the multitude. And we see what that caused, chapter 14, verse 1. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." What a powerful thing fear is. What a powerful thing unbelief is. And we see here that fear discourages others. And fear in others can allow us to be discouraged. Now, those who heard the evil report decided to believe those who were doubtful rather than what God had said and rather than what those faithful ones were saying. And so we must be careful in what we hear and what we say. We don't want to discourage others in their walk with the Lord. And there are times when we face fear and we're not sure of what tomorrow may hold, and we're not sure of a particular situation, but we need to make sure that we don't cause others around us to stumble, and we need to be careful of what we hear and not allow what we hear to produce fear in our own hearts, because sometimes it does. And sometimes what we hear is not always true. And many times Satan will discourage us through others. And Satan will distort the truth and cause us to believe the falsehood rather than the truth and the truth of God's Word. And so we see that here. The whole congregation weeps because they are listening to the 10 leaders. The 10 spies rather than the 2. And above that, rather than God. Fear discourages. Number 5, fear then leads to other sins. Often one sin against God leads to another sin against God. And if we are not active in mortifying our flesh, that is putting to death the deeds of the flesh, if we are not active in putting sin to death in its infant stage, we will soon find it exhibiting itself in other foolish actions. And that's what we see here in this passage. Fear in the 10 led to the whole congregation. And the whole congregation then cries out against its leaders. And so we see fear led the people to speak against the leaders. You see the progression of sin. In its infant stage, it may seem small. All right, guys, we've got a lot we're up against. These are giants. We're surrounded by enemies. I'm not sure. Let's take a break. Let's think through this a little bit. Maybe it just started in its infant stage, and then it grew and grew. Then they came back, and there was time and the travel back to the congregation. And they delivered this fearful report, and the people responded in fear, and now the people are speaking against the leaders. Sin is snowballing, and fear leads to other sins. And see, fear leads people to speak against God. Verse 3, they said, they murmur against Moses. Verse 2, would God that we had died in Egypt. Then verse 3, wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? So then they go to murmuring against God, or men, then to God. Fear leads to other sins. And their response should have been to acknowledge their own failings and ask God for forgiveness. But there were hard hearts and stiff necks. They were becoming callous to sin. And now they're speaking against their Creator and their Savior, their Redeemer. And we see how sin blinds men. And sin can blind even the best of men. And sin makes people do, can I say this word, stupid things. Synonym, foolish. Sin makes us do foolish, absurd, dumb things. And that's what we find Israel here. They're doing a bunch of foolish things. And it's leading. But it doesn't stop there. See, fear led the people to desire to go back to their old lifestyle. In Egypt. Would to God that we went back to Egypt. And notice 14 verse 4. They desired someone to replace Moses and bring them back to slavery. In their immediate thinking, they would rather be chained in Egypt than to face this problem in receiving a report about the land. They are not even at it yet. They've just received a report. But they rather go back to Egypt, to their old ways. And fear leads to other sins. And in verse 10, we see fear led them to harm others. All the congregation bade stone them with stones. Who? The ones filled with faith. And how disastrous is fear and unbelief. They seek to kill their own countrymen. They are filled with anger. They are filled with bitterness, with madness, with revolt. They become ruined by their own rebellion. And angry people cannot endure the counsel of calm reason. Caleb gets up and says, men, in a sense, modern day vernacular, we got this. God's with us. Let's go. Rather than thinking about it, praying over it, rather than searching the scriptures and thinking about what God has done in the past, what do? They pick up stones. They want to kill those who are filled with faith. What do we learn? Well, sin leads to other sin. Fear leads to greater sins. And then we see our last evidence of fear. Fear provokes the anger of God. We have that chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Chapter 14, 26 through 37. God does not remain unmoved at their fear. He does not turn a blind eye. Those who have scorned God's promises and God's messengers face the discipline of the Lord. They are severely punished by God. And we learn here that fear withholds God's blessings. Fear led to their death. And fear will lead to our spiritual death. We cannot walk a victorious Christian walk if we are living in fear. And that is if we are living with an attitude that disregards God. Now, even the best Christians, don't misunderstand me, we face fear. And we face fear almost every day. But I'm speaking of that fear that shakes its fist at God and disregards the promises of God. And fear will lead to our spiritual death just as fear led to their physical death. Six evidences of fear. Now, before we move on to examining the evidence of faith, let me pause and ask ourselves, let's ask ourselves here, if we have fallen victim to this dragon of fear, consider every area in your life at this moment. Consider your marriage. Consider your job. Consider your relationship with others. Consider your commitment to the church. Consider your biblical responsibilities and ask yourself this. Am I overlooking the good? Am I focusing on the negative? Am I growing forgetful of God, not only mentally, but practically, in the heart, in the soul? Am I growing forgetful of God? Am I distant from Him? Am I discouraging others? Am I complaining to them about things that are not of faith? And if so, we must repent. We must turn from these ways because such things provoke the anger of the Lord. And if we continue, we will face the just discipline of God because of our rebellion. And I know we are those who think that everybody else struggles with fear, not us. And I created this message preaching to my own heart. We think that we're the faithful ones. We're the obedient ones. Everybody else needs a lesson on fear. But if we're honest, we all succumb to fear. We are all tempted to fall in the ditch of unbelief and doubt and disobedience towards God. See these evidences and be aware of them so when fear comes, you can note it in your own heart and then confess it to God and then get back on the pathway of faith. And what is the pathway of faith? Well, glad you asked. I'll give you seven evidences of faith real quickly. I'm going through these rather quickly because I'm noting the time. Well, the evidences of faith, we see them here in this passage, and they are the opposites of fear. And these two dovetail one with another. Number one, faith focuses on the good. While fear overlooks the good, faith focuses on the good. The ten spies focused on the difficulties that they saw in the land, but Caleb and Joshua saw the land as fruitful and prosperous. They chose to look beyond the walls of the city. They chose to look beyond the people who were tall and great and strong. And they chose to focus in on the blessings of God. Not the fruit itself. That was an evidence of God's goodness. But they saw God. They were focused on the good. And Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The congregation failed in that they did not think on the good. They did not think on the greatest good. Who's the greatest good? God. But faith focuses on God. And dovetailed with that, faith overlooks the negative. Caleb and Joshua saw the same things everyone else saw on that journey. But they chose to overlook the challenges and to hold on to the promises of God. And faith focuses on what God can do in the midst of difficulty. Faith focuses not on self, not on others, not on circumstances, but on God. This is what Hebrews 11 is all about. Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, reverential fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He doesn't understand everything. He's in a land of rebellion, but he obeys. Faith. Hebrews 11:8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing what he went, whether he went. Hebrews 11:17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. By faith Israel passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with swords. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith. What was the good report? What God had promised. They went forward trusting that God was good and God was doing right. Though most of them face severe difficulty. Faith focuses on the good. It overlooks the negative. Number three, faith remembers God. Fear forgets God. Faith remembers God. Caleb, Joshua, I'm sure they said, this seems impossible. This seems irrational. This seems to go against which is that which is popular. This seems to go against that which can be explained easily, but God. Those two words, but God. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. And they knew that God was with them. They knew that God had been with them and that He will be with them again. They put their full trust in the promises of God. Faith remembers God. In all the areas of life, we fight fear by remembering God. All right, Lord, financially, not looking good. Okay, Lord, I need a job. Okay, Lord, there's this health issue. Okay, Lord, fill in the blank. And so how do we fight fear? By remembering God. His goodness, His ability, His power, His word. Number four, faith seeks to encourage others. Fear discourages others, but faith encourages others. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are all able to overcome it. There's a man of faith. Joshua and Caleb, chapter 14, 6 through 9, we find them again wanting to move forward, and they are warning Israel not to be given to fear, because they will face God's judgment. And we see here under this heading that faith confronts fear. Belief confronts unbelief. Don't we find Jesus doing that? We saw it Sunday night. Peter walking on the water. He sinks. Why? Because he gets his focus on the negative, the circumstances. He overlooks the good. and Jesus there to pick him up. And what does Jesus say? Wherefore didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith? Faith confronts fear. Faith must never remain silent. It must speak out, challenging and sometimes rebuking others who seek to tear down that which God desires to do. Caleb and Joshua went to the congregation. They said, don't sin in this way. Don't fear. Let's go. Faith encourages others. Number 5, faith keeps a humble and prayerful spirit. Verses 5 through 6 in chapter 14. They want to go back to Egypt. The assembly has been crying, speaking against the leaders. And what do we find Caleb and Joshua doing? Well, verse 6, and Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, they rent their clothes. Back in verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. Did Caleb and Joshua retaliate in anger? Did they succumb to the mighty pressures of unbelief that was surrounding them? They say, well, everybody else seems to be of this opinion. I guess we should too, because we're the minority, not the majority, and I guess they should be right. No. They held on to their faith, continuing to seek God. And in the midst of unbelief and disobedience, we find them of a humble and prayerful spirit. They're bothered and grieved at what others are doing, but they do not attack others. They lay their requests before God. They run to God on behalf of the rebellious ones. Why? Because they know that only God was able to change their heart. Only God could give them faith to believe that they could conquer the land. They tried to speak to their ear, but God had to move their heart. And another reason why they went to the Lord, why they fell on their faces, because they knew, the minority knew, that only God could see them through the great storm of unbelief that they were going through. I mean, think about that. Suppose you're in a situation. Let's just pick one out of a hat. Let's say you're in a severe health situation, and there are only a few who think God will be with you, God will see you through it, God will comfort you, perhaps God will hear you. But everybody else said, no, God's not going to do that. Nope, you're living in sin. You're being judged, and you might as well just give up. And pretty hard to go through. They stuck to it. And see their response. They kept a humble and a prayerful spirit. Faith keeps a humble and prayerful spirit. Faith will be hated and despised. Number 6, verse 10 of chapter 14. But all the congregation, after Caleb and Joshua spoke, they're giving challenging words. If the Lord delight in us, He will bring us into the land. Don't rebel, people. But verse 10, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. What do we learn? Faith will be hated and despised. Faith and obedience will be hated by the world. And many times, faith and obedience will be hated among the professing Christian world, especially those who are not living right. Why? Well, because they're convicted. They're convicted that you're doing right and they're not doing right. And so your very lifestyle is going to convict them. Your very lifestyle of faith and obedience is going to be a lesson of reproof to them. You don't have to say anything. Have you been in those situations? I've been around lost family members and they drink or smoke or whatever, and they said, well, you know, you don't have to judge me. I only do this, so I didn't say anything. I know you Christians. You think you've got the answers to life. You think you know it all. You think you're the living right. You'll be hated. You'll be despised. But don't be shocked. Why? Because Jesus said that wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now it's there will be multitudes, millions that will find the true way, but compared to the world, it will seem few. So know that faith will be hated and despised. So think it not strange when you come to a situation like this. Don't we see that in Jesus' ministry? Jesus is preaching truth. Jesus is going around doing good. He's healing multitudes. And Jesus is despised. The disciples are despised. John chapter 6. He's teaching truth. The multitude leaves. The disciples leave. And he turns to his other disciples. Will you too go away? Despised. The majority of the religious crowd thought in Jesus' day that they had faith, but they were greatly deceived. So don't be surprised when you seek to do right and exercise faith and you are opposed. Don't be surprised. We see it here. And you will see it sometimes in its ugliness. But go through it with faith, humility, prayerful spirit. Number 7. What does faith lead to? What is an evidence of faith? Chapter 14, verse 38. Joshua and Caleb were of the men that went to search the land, and they lived still. Faith leads to life. Faith leads to spiritual joy. Faith leads to continued blessings. Those who doubted, those who rebelled, died. But Caleb and Joshua experienced the blessing of God because only they followed the Lord wholly, the scripture says. They followed the Lord with all of their heart. Faith leads to God's blessing. We want to know God's blessing? We must be people of faith. Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is, without believing God's word, without obeying God's word, it's impossible to please God. You see, faith is more than just a mental assent. Yes, God, I believe. Yes, no, it's acting. It's resting in the promises of God. Faith leads to God's blessing. Listen, church, there are blessings before us. There is fruit that will remain. We must see what God is going to do in future days and not be distracted by the battles and not be distracted at men or circumstances. We must see that Christ will build His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We will see promises being fulfilled. We will see prayers being answered. We must continue to walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Paul tells Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There you have the evidences of fear and the evidences of faith. Which one do we find ourselves in? As we read the narrative, where do we find ourselves? And what stage? I pray that we will continue to exercise faith, that we will pray to be a greater person of faith, and that we individually and a church will press on by faith, believing that what God has promised, He is able to perform. And I'll close with this illustration. One day, John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt as to the goodness of God. He said, I do not know what I shall do with all this worry and trouble. At the same moment, Wesley saw a cow looking over a stone wall. Do you know, asked Wesley, why that cow is looking over the wall? No, said the man who was worried. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because she cannot see through it. That is what you must do with your wall of trouble. Look over it and avoid it. And faith enables us to look past our circumstances and to focus on Christ. So I pray that God would help us to keep our focus on Him and to Him alone. I hope this was an encouragement to you. Like I said, the Lord's preaching to my own heart, and I wanted to share that with you, hoping that He will help you through this as well. Father, thank you for these dear people who I love so much. Thank you, Father, for your abundant goodness in our life. Lord, if we should count all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, we would be here all night. Father, thank you for drawing us to your Son, giving us eternal life. Thank you, Father, for how you have revealed yourself over and over and over. And I pray that we would think through these evidences and that we would forsake fear, that we would overcome doubt, and that we would be a people of faith, trusting in your word with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, please work faith within our hearts. Work greater faith within our church, within every family. You know the situations of everyone here tonight. And I pray that you would not allow fear to choke our spiritual life, but Father, that faith would be planted and that faith would grow and that we would know the sweet promises of God in a real and true way. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon us. Oh, that we would look with the eye of faith to future years, to future converts, to future disciples, to future church planters and missionaries that you will send forth from this place. Help us by faith, trusting that you will provide for us every step of the way, that you will protect us from the evil one and from evil men, and that you will do things above that which we can ask or imagine. Father, please give us this faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.